All right, I'm officially starting the recording. It's great to see everybody today. Please don't violate the anti-disclosure laws or anything like that. And be nice to other people. So I guess I wrote up an agenda, but it doesn't look like anyone has edited it. So I guess before I start diving into my stuff, I wanted to ask if there's anything that people wanted to talk about in particular. Yes, no, maybe.
I wanted to talk about the IRSA roadmap.
Are we gonna
be like planning out different things to put in it, and where is it going? How to reach the 1.0 release?
That's a good thing to talk about and to start the meeting off. Although I think it's a good habit to start with any pull requests that need addressing. So, do we have any of those?
There is one that someone submitted for their master's like research. They were benchmarking IRSA, and anyway, they submitted it. It's quite a detailed pull request, but it doesn't affect the code. It's just a bunch of benchmark code, which is useful to have.
Yeah. So, are there any questions about where we want to put that or what we want to do with that? Or I mean, it seems like a nice contribution.
It's a nice contribution, because I think as we go along, it'll be nice to have other benchmarks so we can show that IRSA is doing well and isn't just this slow library that Hyperledger is using.
Yeah, sure. I was just asking if we had any, or if we wanted to have any sort of consistent ways to handle benchmarking. I think, you know, this stuff is, these are great contributions, but just, you know, in the future, what do we want to do with them?
Well, they're using the standard Rust criterion library, which is how I would like to do benchmarks in the future, because that's the direction I pointed them in, and they did a good job when they asked about it. So that's how I would see benchmarks going, is using criterion. That's pretty much what the rest of the Rust community is using. So I'm okay with it, unless someone else has a better option.
Seems fine to me. I guess maybe we should. Do we need to write anything about this for future contributions to help people in this area, or do you think we're okay?
I think for now we're okay. I guess the only other thing I wanted to add to the agenda was for the encryption APIs, how do we get John Geeter to add some input?
That's a very specific agenda item.
You just keep goading me on this call every 2 weeks, I think. Which PR are we looking at? I mean, in all honesty, my mail filtering and stuff is not conducive with getting good bandwidth on the PRs and stuff. So if you have a specific one you want me to look at, then sending it to me personally by email, I'll look at it. Otherwise, it tends to slip until this.
We have an overleaf. We have an overleaf document that we're gradually adding stuff to. That is much more editable and easy to edit than, say, doing tech in GitHub.
Good. So, and to be fair, I did get that sent directly to me, and I can do that. So, if that's the one place to go, especially as I've had only I think one response to the TE workshop stuff.
Well, I mean, it feels like most people here, if they're at the member summit, would be happy to join.
Yeah. So maybe the right way to do it, if this is the one and only place where we go, is to put a straw man in the overleaf document, and we discuss that rather than being collaborative to start with.
Yeah, so I found that works. I found that absolutely works the best is to just write something and then let people complain about it.
Yeah.
And use their laziness against them.
Okay. So we make direct inline non-branch edits to the Overleaf doc, and if nobody comes and deletes it again, it's good.
Yeah, this is what I do. I write something, and then Mike is like, "No, you did it wrong." He fixes it, and then we go from there. So,
okay, I can live with that. So let's not try to coordinate stuff before Japan. I'll edit in there.
I mean, we can coordinate, but it's just like. It's hard to get a first draft down because we don't really know what, you know, we don't have anything to compare against.
Yeah.
But this is the case across a lot of this stuff. A lot of this open source stuff. I found that if I just write something, even if it's of dubious quality, it spurs the discussion well enough to just get the ball rolling.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good. So if Overleaf is central, that's enough for me. I'll work in there.
That seems to work the best.
We can discuss all my changes in 2 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. I'll put you on the agenda in 2 weeks then.
Awesome.
All right.
The RFCs that I've looked at in other places are just in Markdown. I wonder if there's a way to keep the content simple enough in the RFC that we don't need fancier layouts and stuff.
And so
putting that in like a documentation and then we crack out the LaTeX.
Yeah, the problem with that is that just writing the like math stuff in Markdown is a royal pain and it looks terrible.
Well, let's just keep the math out then.
That's what we're trying to do, but the external interface definitely, but some of the internal stuff, you know, you want to be able to write down what a pairing looks like and so forth.
Okay.
It would be nice, and I wish there were a better solution to this. But you know. If anybody has a good suggestion, I mean, I think Overleaf, that's why we started using Overleaf, is because it's pretty simple. The tech automatically compiles. It's pretty easy for people to make simple changes that don't, you know, if you're not messing with the tech formatting, you don't really need a lot of knowledge to figure things out.
Yeah, I guess... over on the Sawtooth project, what I've seen people start to do more now with the RFCs is to do some sort of, not offline collaboration, but collaboration developing the first draft of the RFC before pushing it. And then that way the sort of the back and forth commits to wind it up aren't awkward. And so anyway, I think that's...
Yeah, no, that's... Overleaf. That's exactly what we're doing in Overleaf with this encryption API.
Okay. And is there already a link circulated for the Overleaf stuff?
Yes.
I'll post it in the URSA channel.
Thanks.
Maybe not, because it's fully public. Maybe just email it to people on request. Like, everyone in this meeting can have it. I just don't want some... you know, some random trolls, because the permissions aren't, the permissions are completely open.
Yeah, I fault Overleaf in that sense. They're not really that fine grained.
So like, but Dan, you should definitely have the link.
Okay.
So I haven't used this, but this allows me to just write that, right?
Yeah. So it's basically an online tech editor. So it's a browser window. You have tech code in one end and it auto compiles the PDF in the other window. So it's like, you don't have to go through the pain of installing your own like tech compiler and tech viewer and all this other junk. So it's really nice for people that, you know, don't write academic papers for a living.
Sounds good.
It's a good collaboration device. I'm surprised you haven't tried it actually. Vipin, did you have something to say?
Please send me the link.
Okay.
I need the email address. Dan Milton, I already did send it to you. you just never accepted the invite.
Probably came in with a thousand other emails
or something, you know?
That's okay. I don't feel so bad anymore. Thank you, Dan.
John Dieter told me not to accept the link.
Typical.
Good. No, I like it. I have actually opened that. I do like the system. I should consider my paralysis undone. I think it's a cool one. So if we can get everybody on that doc, it'd be good.
Hey, Manu, what email should I send it to?
Definity.
Is it manu.drivers@definity or what is it?
Just Manu at Definity.
Manu at Definity?
Yeah. Thank you.
The one and only then.
I'm the one and only.
All righty. Done. Sent. Dan, you have yours. Manu, you have yours. Anybody else on this call that would like access to it? I see Brent already has access to it. Lavesh, you do.
I just asked for it.
Yeah.
It's within.
Okay, I think I have your email address somewhere. I'll try and find it.
It's vipinsun@gmail.com, right?
That's one. The other one is vip@dlt.nyc.
I'm not going to remember that. I'm too white.
VIP.
Like very important person.
I know it was the other stuff after that.
DLT, dlt.nyc. It's very simple. 333.
VIP, DLT.
NYC.
At what, Gmail?
NYC.
No. VIP@dlt.nyc.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, done.
That. Do you get like nightclub requests with that email, Vipin?
Nightclub.
Yeah, vip@something.nyc.
No, not too many.
I'm expecting. Do you know that old Saturday Night Live segment with Stefan where they did like, you know, today's hottest nightclub? I'm expecting like the DLT nightclub.
Well,
it has everything. Blocks, chains.
That probably exists in San Francisco, but enough on that.
Well, it used to exist here, but several things wiped out many, many people. So,
yeah,
it did not survive. But I guess it's reviving. Anyway, on to other subjects, I suppose.
Did anybody look at this PR, at this benchmarking PR? Because the numbers are super weird, right?
I did run it, yes.
So why does it say that DLS is 10 times slower than Schnorr over the Bitcoin curve?
So when I ran it on my machine, the ED25519 was the fastest. Then BLS was next, and then they did the Bitcoin curve. And yeah, it is slower. So it could just be my box, but the Bitcoin curve code is written in C, and the others are all written in Rust. So I don't know if Rust is doing some cool optimizations. But I mean, they're literally just calling create key, sign some random data, and then verify it.
Okay. Well, that is very odd to me.
It is odd to me too.
Especially that the Bitcoin curve would be, if I read it correctly, 100 times slower than EDDSA. That makes no sense to me. So I don't know. I mean, maybe we should look into that before. I mean, I don't know if the code is weird or the benchmarking is weird, but I guess we should look into that before we merge.
You're looking at results that you generated by running his commits?
Yeah, or? you just download his fork and then call cargo bench and it will run it.
I'm just reading libursa/benches/readme.md. They're the committer wrote some stuff there, also saying that the result of this is that EDDSA is 100 times, in the order of 100 times faster than SecB Schnorr.
So here's the output from my benchmarks. Let me, I'll just paste it in the, well, where should I put it? Should I put it in the IRSA channel?
Can you just share your screen?
I can do that too.
Close those other windows
first. It's hard to think of something simpler to do. So here's what, when I ran their fork on my machine, this is what it came out with. So I'll start it here, and it runs it in release mode. So here's E25519 key creation. Key loading, I think, is just loading it from disk. So signing. So I believe the middle number is the average, and then this is the low and this is the high. So if you look, verification time is 60 microseconds. And then, yeah, you go to SecP256K1, and I see 6.2 milliseconds. Then you go to OpenSSL, and I don't know what they did there. I'm going to have to dive into that a little bit. I think they're using OpenSSL's lib, or SecP256K1 to check it against. And I was like, wow, that's a significant difference here.
So he might just be creating the context over and over.
That might be the case.
Yeah, because they got really bad numbers benchmarking that a couple years ago without caching that context thing. But yeah, we can take a look at that offline and then provide PR feedback.
What, yeah. In my comments, I said I would have liked to see other comparisons as well, but I mean, this is a master student, so I don't know if he really knew what he was doing per se, but it looked pretty good for someone who didn't know Rust before trying it out.
Yeah, I'm not saying he didn't do a good job. I'm just saying we should clarify if the benchmarking code is correct.
So my proposal is I would rather just merge it, and then I want to take a look at why that was the case. It probably is what you're suggesting, Dan, that they probably were just newing up the context over and over again.
So I just looked at it right now, and they are creating the context each time they sign. So that might in fact.
Yeah, and if you look at verify, it does the same thing. So I can drop in feedback to that after we're done on the call here and ask him to do an update, him or her.
Yeah, so what he should be doing is creating a signer and then just create the object and then call verify over and over and over again. Because that caches the context when it does that.
Yeah, it should just be a persistent object, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, because it surprised me, because I would have thought BLS would have been the slowest out of those.
I mean, it is, or it for sure should be.
Yeah, there's no question on that.
And then I question the multi-sign, because how can a multi-sign be faster than signing? So,
You could maybe compute the like the amortized cost, or like the cost per signature you verify or something.
But multi-sign is just adding the signatures, right? So that should be faster because you're just adding points compared to signing, where you're doing a scalar multiplication.
Depends what you count, right? I would think that you sign and then add, so then it would be odd if it's faster.
Okay. I didn't see it where I was, because Mike just said multi-signing is faster, so I was wondering maybe he's just adding the signatures together. Let's see.
Yeah, if you already have the pre-partial signatures, it's really fast, but
Yeah, I think there needs to be a little clarity around that.
Yes, he's just adding the signature. So when he creates a multisig, it's just creating a multi-signature object from a bunch of signatures, which is just adding the points. So it's going to be
faster. Yeah, that'll be fast.
Do we already have API examples in the doc somewhere that we can point him to?
Nope. No. Someone want to write some?
Sounds like probably a good thing to do.
That's why we created the Ursa Docs repo.
Yeah, we're working on this. This is not exactly a fast process, but hopefully, you know, hopefully we should have something very comprehensive and detailed.
What do you mean?
Well, unlike the API stuff. So we'll have a clear description of the API, what to call, sort of how to use it.
Yeah, not for the encryption stuff. I meant for like the signature stuff that we already had defined. I didn't know if we had examples, but it sounds like we capture examples. So those should go into the doc somewhere.
So that's on my to-do list, is to go back and write a proper signature API document.
Oh, sweet.
So I will be doing that at some point in the not too distant future.
Okay, well, ping me later today and I'll review it.
It's probably not going to be done today, but I appreciate the attempt. Does anybody else have any more comments on this, or should we move on? All right, Mike, do you want to talk about your ideas for the roadmap then?
Yeah, so I would like to, there's a couple things I want to see in Ursa as we move to the 1.0 release. So obviously encryption is one, language bindings is another. By the way, I did update the RFC for language bindings to point to the crate that Dave Huseby recommended. So some of you have already approved that PR. Others of you, can you please take a look at it if you haven't? So there's that needs to be fleshed out. There's the encryption, there's signing, and then there's the ZKP stuff. Is there anything else that others want to see in Ursa for a 1.0 release? Right now, Indy is using, say, BLS for its consensus algorithm signature. And then we use ED25519 for like signing transactions. I don't know what, and I think Sawtooth uses the P256K1 curve.
Yeah, the Bitcoin curve.
And then I don't know if what consensus algorithm you're using, because I think it's pluggable. Am I right?
Yeah, we've got a few.
Yeah, can we? It would be nice if we had a summary of what Sawtooth needed from us.
Absolutely.
So other than those two, I don't know what others are wanting in there. I mean, hashing obviously would be another one. But other than that, I don't know what else Ursa would need.
The key management stuff has come up in a few places, so I don't know if that's necessarily a 1.0 feature, but it's definitely something to have on a roadmap.
Yeah, that's partially why I keep roping John Geeter to do that for encryption, have some signing APIs, and I don't know if attestation is hard, so I don't know if that would be in the 1.0 release.
Well, I think, yeah, so attestation is the only reason I haven't done anything, because it's philosophically hard, whether you include it in line with the APIs or not. So I think what I'm going to write, similar to what I put in the email, what I'll write in the Overleaf doc when it stops crashing, is...
recompile, then it works.
Okay, recompile, there we go. That we do attestation out of band, and then actually it's a lot easier. So I'll write up that thought sort of coherently in the Overleaf doc, and then we can debate it and see if you're satisfied.
And what kind of attestation flow are you thinking of?
Well, so making it out of band means we don't have to really think of a single attestation flow at all. This is really entirely the point with why it's so difficult to standardize, is that if you've got a TEE key in the sort of standard ARM model, then you would have to have a live online challenge response communication with a trusted service manager. Whereas if you've got a TEE key in the Google sense, then you would have to check the path of authentications and authorizations from an app signing key through the intents mechanism. And if you've got an SGX key, then you need to see who all was on the ring signature that approved this code, and then who's behind the measurement server that loaded the code before you look at who actually created the thing. So they're incredibly different. And so trying to squash them all into the same syntax in a single API is basically impossible. Whereas if we have a rather high-level abstract thing that doesn't make any particular semantic inference on the attestation data, but just carries a type and some payload that is hanging around, and you can choose to verify later with some third-party or external Trent tool when, if and when you need to, that actually is feasible. So we preserve all of the attestation data through the API, but don't promise that we've actually done it or service it in line. We just carry it around effectively like a giant attribute.
Yeah, at a higher level, though, this is specifically related to how you would use attestation with some HSM-like functionality?
Yeah, exactly. You're looking for a higher level of trust in the key. So if we assume, at the very high level, we all assume that crypto sort of works. So we have an amount of mathematics that we're confident in. Mm-hmm. At the next level down, where the system can fail, is if the mathematics is correct, but the key is somehow improperly handled. And so if you're at the far end of a communication, receiving perfectly valid, well-formed and verifying signatures, you may still not be terribly confident in the information or the keys or the commands that you're receiving, because you don't know how good the key is that was used to sign the thing. So then what you need to do is say, well, I've got this public key, I've got a certificate against this public key, and as you go deeper into hardware implementations, you start to pick up all sorts of stuff like key generation certificates that effectively prove that the key was generated inside of a hardware security module and was created with a policy or an access list that means it's never allowed out. And you slowly add levels of trust and proof to how good the crypto system is according to the depth of your paranoia. And there are well-trod standards for this coming out of, you know, Global Platform and TCG and the HSM vendors. So in any individual hardware instance, it's quite well understood how you do that and attest to the generation parameters and life custody of the key. But in completely general abstract terms, it's quite a difficult problem.
Okay. Yeah. Normally I think of how I've used attestation is I'm trying to build up trust in accessing an enclave or relying on something from the enclave.
Yeah.
Whereas, with like the HSM is I'm going to send a transaction into some black box and it's going to sign it for me. And someone downstream either trusts or doesn't trust that signature, because the key that's protected by the enclave is a key that has already been authorized for some use.
Indeed, yeah. So it's both of those things, yeah. And they're circular in a wonderful, wonderful way. So what I'll do for anybody who's ever looked at this, there is a deep quote feature in TPM, which was actually existed for virtual environments. So the idea is you can have a completely ordinary looking virtual computer running in a hypervisor, which has a local TPM. And obviously that's all software and memory and horribly insecure. And so then you can have simple software compatibility where you just quote your virtual TPM, but there's also a deep quote that can chain back through the hypervisor, see how it was created, see where it came from, and hopefully ultimately prove that there's a physical hardware sealed key underneath what you're using that still means your virtual environment is hardware safe. And nasty though it is in some details, it's the best abstraction of that kind of thing I've seen in the past. So what will appear in the Overleaf doc is something that looks a bit like that, which will enable both those use cases, kind of a naive key, a naive environment, and the rather complex, I trust this key because it's in an environment, and I trust the environment because of this other key and measurement combination.
Cool. I'm trying to trick Dan Anderson into also working on the HSM-like functionality and some of the stuff related to TPEs. So you might also help me trick him into working in on that.
Yeah. I'll just say very rude things about SGX, and I'm sure they'll get corrected.
No comment.
Good.
So, question. You said that this attestation stuff gets carried around. If need be. For the people who are relying on the signatures or encryption, how would that be accessed by the relier, people who are relying on this?
Well, I can imagine a couple ways it might work, and John has something in mind to write up. But one way to do it would be you've got some sort of attestation blob, and then a way to interpret that as a specific type of blob, and then you'd have handling for, right, this is an SGX attestation, so it's going to go through this kind of inspection or verification so that I know that I can actually trust that attestation blob. Or it's a certain other kind of attestation, so it has a different flow for verifying everything about that.
Did that answer your question, Vipin?
So that blob would be co-located with the actual signature or yes. there would be a pointer or way to access it from there.
Right. So like what we do with Poet is when a node enrolls on the system, it has to bring along an attestation certificate with it. It's actually an attestation verification report. And then the things that you do to make sure that that's valid is you check that it's been signed by the party that you're going to trust there. Like it could be Intel in the first versions of SGX, or it might be other attestation service providers in other versions of SGX. But you check that somebody already went through the attestation flow with that signature, and then you can check different fields of it, like what was the TCB level, what was the trusted computing base of this particular device that issued it. Does that meet expected values? There's group revocation parameters in there that you want to check that the group hasn't been revoked. A lot of that gets done for you by the attestation verification service, but then you can still sort of do trust but verify with the package that gets sent to you.
Thanks.
All right, I guess, is there anything else on hardware? I guess, John, if anything, there's a big demand for this, it looks like, so.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I think I know what to do. I'll just crack on.
Do we have any more questions or comments or things people want on an URSA roadmap?
Where do we want to start piecing together the roadmap? Or do
that's
we
a good have? Question.
So that's why I wanted to start with the encryption APIs, because that's where our immediate needs are, plus the ZKP stuff. So like we want the BBS plus signature, double sender signatures, bulletproofs, that kind of stuff in zMix. That's what Indy's needs are, but we also might need some of the more like consensus signatures. Like we want to make some changes to BLS, and we might possibly use, I think it's called BBG. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but anyway, it has to do with forward secret consensus signatures. That it's the one that Manu wrote up with Greg. So we're taking a look at that and considering that as an option.
Well, it seems like the wiki is the preferred place for a lot of document stuff like this. So we could create a page on the URSA wiki and start putting out a list of features and organized into release cycles.
Yeah, that sounds at least like a good way to start. I mean, I guess in theory we should be using, you know, Jira and everything. But a wiki is a good starting point.
Yeah. Because I think it'd be nice to say, what are everybody's needs for the 1.0 release? And then go from there. Because right now, there is an open PR for Indy to use URSA. It's the 0.11 release. They're still reviewing it, but they want it. And I don't know when Sawtooth plans to adopt URSA.
Probably in like the Sawtooth 2.0 time frame, which is kind of hazily end of year.
Yeah, it'll probably have to be I gathered talking to like everybody. I mean, I'm sure Dan knows more, but it did seem like it would have to be a major release point. Is that correct, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, and if you guys, I guess we should bug Sean about this too. Just get everything down so we know what you're interested in. Also, I guess these other projects like Grid and Transact, will they have any substantially different or novel crypto requirements?
That is a good question. I think Transact will not, because I think that will largely mirror the SDKs that we have. So those are basically just calling signing. So that would just, yeah, there wouldn't be anything new there. Grid, I don't know about where. Well, I mean, I know about Grid. I don't know whether there will be any novel requirements. That's still in its first quarter of development. So, yeah.
I guess the sooner we get a wish list, the better.
Mm-hmm. And we should also think about what 1.0 means. So we might want to have, like, here's our feature complete list for something we call, like a .5 or some sort of something less than a whole number, and then have some good criteria for ourselves before we declare that something is production ready.
What are you talking about? What it means? It means we get to start a huge fight at the TSC.
Yes, that will be fun, and we will. And not to splinter this conversation, but we'll have to have a little bit of discussion on project lifecycle criteria stuff tomorrow, and I'm hoping that we've got some TSC members and/or other community contributors that want to step up and help fill any gaps that we have there.
I'm thinking I'm just going to start making my commits here. I'm just going to create a fresh LFID for every commit.
Yeah, well, maybe we can work together on a script to generate those LFIDs because that could get time consuming.
I don't think it really is. I've looked into this.
All right. Anyway, back on the original topic. So yeah, if we want to make a wiki and then we just have some high level points on that of what the first batch of features are. And then we can have some later discussions about how we want to ascribe those to some ver numbers.
May I make a suggestion? If you add an item, could you also put down a time frame of when you expect you could work on it, or when you would like to, or when you would need it done?
That is excellent, and I would also love to have, without making it too big of a grid, some kind of motivation for the feature, so it's not just like, you know, hey, I've heard of this encryption, I want to put this on the list. It's like, here's a feature request from Grid for BLS because of some specific feature in Grid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the things that are obvious, I think, are fine, but, you know, the things that might be a little less obvious, well, obviously, you can't think of them easily because they're less obvious, but there might be, you know, there will probably definitely be less obvious things. So.
Obvious is in the eye of the beholder.
Exactly.
So I think if you put down the motivation, at least succinctly, in everyone, then things would be better.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. Does anybody else have any comments on the roadmap? I guess, you know, we can set up a wiki document for next time and get some things started and then discuss it later. Does that seem okay?
Yeah. I'm just curious to see what other features, like say Definity has interest in, or, you know, Aroha or any of those other projects. What features are they interested in and looking for? So, I mean, we've touted Ursa as, oh, this is the crypto library for, you know, all of Hyperledger. Well, what features are they wanting to, or hoping to use? So, and when would they like to have those? This is great to just keep throwing more and more crypto in there, but if no one's going to use it, then it's, except maybe one project, then the whole idea was for naught.
I mean, I think it'd be good to get some Fabric people in here too. I think that's the big thing we're missing. As far as I know, Aroha doesn't use any exotic crypto, but they obviously need the modular interface.
What does exotic crypto mean? Does it go to a club and dance around?
Yes, it goes to DLT at NYC.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Vipin. No, I think it just uses basic signatures at this point. I don't think it does any zero knowledge proofs. I could be wrong, but that was the last time I checked.
Do we know five Fabric guys are not here because we are doing BBS plus signatures, which they do in ID mix apps. And I think on the, like, we can do the same cup they do, which is BN254. So do we know why they don't want to adopt with Ursa?
I'm guessing it's just because, like, perhaps others on this call can comment more on this, but a lot of the IBM cryptographers have left.
That is true.
And now a bunch in New York look like they've left too. So So I've tried to find out what's going on with Idemix, and it's not really clear to me.
Who did you talk to then?
So I've talked to like Arno and Chris Ferris and people.
I see. Okay. Yeah, we can try to figure it out at some point.
I just don't. We're happy to work with them on stuff. I just don't know like what they're doing or like all of the recently all of the Fabric roadmap items for Idemix have just been getting continually pushed back.
Okay, and do you know if they're getting pushed back because they are looking for something different? Because like Mario was mentioning that John and other folks were looking at PS signatures or a variation of them. So do you know if Idemix is being pushed because they are looking for a newer signature scheme?
I'm guessing, this is pure speculation, but I'm guessing it's just because the manpower is a lot less than it used to be.
Okay.
But if I would, I think it's Angelo is in charge of that now. Is that right, Manu?
I think so, but I haven't really been following it closely since I left.
Yeah, so I'm not entirely sure what's going on. So what the exact plans are.
I mean, I don't think they like if. I mean, so this was mostly Maria and me working on that, and then we left, and Angelo took some of it over, but he has a lot of other stuff to do. So I think that's why everything is being pushed back.
Yeah, that's what I assumed.
If they switch to a different signature scheme or something, they would not. I mean. They wouldn't even rename anything probably.
So yeah, we can try to get in touch with those guys, but again, I'm not entirely sure what's happening.
No, just curious there. Thanks. Awesome.
Any more questions, comments, anything else about the roadmap?
I just threw a little starter page up on the wiki, so if people want a very different structure to it, feel free to have at it. But it's kind of like a little starter place for a list.
Thanks.
Oh, and I forgot the contributor column that Mike had wisely suggested.
Yeah, thanks. I'll take a look after the meeting.
So, by the way, I got a responsibility from, you know, to present URSA at Construct. So I'm going to do it. Dave Huspe gave me some slides, but I want to make sure that what I'm saying represents our collective stuff, and I think it's only for about 20 minutes, so I may have to cut down on the slides, but I want the roadmap to be there so that there is you know, dissemination of that stuff. And Construct being a developers conference, not just guys touting crypto during consensus, it is, I mean, crypto in the sense cryptocurrencies. So it's going to be a totally different kind of audience. So hopefully some of them will come to these meetings and contribute.
Vipin, I can send you some slide decks if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I have Dave's thing. It is, you know, pretty high level, obviously. Roadmap is definitely one of them, and the motivations and anything else you guys want. I can drop the slide, you know, reference somewhere that you can take a look at it. I believe it's public. So yeah, any help with that would be appreciated. It's on May 15th, which is obviously the date of our next call. So I probably should get something together by that date.
Yeah, I'll be happy to send you some slides and stuff. I've done a number of talks on this, and I can just send you decks, and you know, you can kind of cut and paste stuff out of it as you want.
Great.
So, we've got about 5 minutes left. Does anybody else have anything they want to bring up? Yes, no, maybe.
What, I don't know if you're the right person, Dave Huseby might be. What is the status of getting some the CI pipeline resources?
That's a Dave question. I can't help you with that one.
Oh, I can help with that one.
Ah.
So we are helping to set up the CI for Ceph. To integrate it properly with the main Sawtooth line. And intel from Dave and Sean this week is that we have been approved the servers. So the CNCF Kubernetes cluster. I guess I shouldn't promise it because it's not my responsibility, but that's what I heard.
Okay. Because that would be good to get going, because, you know, as PRs pick up with OSA, it'd be nice to have that going. But that's the only other topic I wanted to cover.
Awesome. All right. Well, 5 minutes isn't a lot, so we should probably just conclude the meeting then. By the way, Hyperledger Honeypot is a fantastic name.
I'm glad you like that.
I'm kind of sad, like, that's not a name in the... That would have been a great name for a crypto project.
What is the goal of Hyperledger Honeypot?
Just to mess with Hart.
You should check the release feature planning list.
I did have a quick question for you, Mike. I want to unblock you on the language bindings thing. And there was a link to naming conventions.
Yeah, I responded to that. Did you see it?
Yeah, I see the response. And so what you were just looking for there is the file extensions for
well, language? No. Well, okay, yeah, maybe. It's been a while since I looked at that part, but it's mostly just so, like, we have a common naming convention. So when you want to do the idiomatic wrappers, you would say Java or PHP. You wouldn't, would you want to say the full-blown JavaScript, or do you just say JS? You know, most people know the difference. So I was trying to come up with a common naming mechanism that we could use.
Oh, as far as like paths or something, you'd be like a JS.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That was just the main goal of it.
Okay, cool. I will get you unblocked on that then.
Okay. How many approvers does it take? I mean, this sounds like a joke, but how many approvers does it take to unblock or to approve an RFC?
All of the maintainers.
So we need to get Sean on there. He asked a question, and I wasn't clear on what he was asking.
Okay.
Awesome. All right. Anything else? I guess not. So thank you, everybody, for coming today, and we'll talk to you all in 2 weeks. And please edit the release feature planning list and the Overleaf document if you're interested in that as well.
If you need permissions, just reach out to me on Rocket Chat and I can hook you up.
Awesome. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you in a couple weeks.
Okay. Adios.
Bye-bye.